Following programs, views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us this evening, and we'll be here until midnight. I hope you'll be able to join in the conversation, even if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to have you give us a call tonight. Our telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here with us this evening. And a number of things going on in the world to talk about that we'll hopefully touch on somewhat this evening. But also, of course, your calls with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for giving us this venue. Help us to use it for your glory and for your purpose. Help us to point people to Christ. Help us to encourage believers to walk with you and to live for you. We just pray you just, again, use the program for your glory tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight, and I just want to remind you a couple of things here before we get into things tonight. Program, you can find us online. Our website, of course, is livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find some past programs at livewithpastoral.com. You can also link to our Facebook page from livewithpastoral.com. You can link to our Facebook page. I try to put a number of articles and different things from time to time there during the week. And also, one other advantage with the Facebook page is you can watch us online. We've got some people watching online tonight. Hopefully, the sound is coming through tonight via what's coming through this little red wire that I've got going into my headset here. Let's see. I was going to mention there, of course, that the facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's where our live stream is. And there are other ways that you can find us. You can go to the radio website for AM 1220 The Word at whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. And you can listen live there, or you can even download their app for AM 1220 The Word on your smartphone and listen that way. So there's a variety of ways to listen to you, and we appreciate you listening. Appreciate your prayers for us tonight. That's what keeps us on the air, and we're appreciative of that here this evening. I want to remind you, too, I'm the pastor. Actually, I'm a pastor, of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And if you're ever in the area and would like to visit, we'd love to have you visit. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. That's northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right off from Interstate 77, where it crosses the Ohio Turnpike there on Brecksville Road, 5171 Brecksville Road. And we are there every Sunday at, we have a Sunday Bible study, and that's 10 o'clock is when we meet there. And then, of course, we're going through some proofs of God's existence. Right now we're looking at what creation and evolution have to say about the existence of God. And then in our 11 o'clock hour, the morning worship service, we are, I'm preaching through the book of Galatians, just finished Galatians chapter 2. And Lord willing, next week we'll be starting Galatians chapter 3. And then on Sunday night, amongst other things that we're doing. I'm preaching through the book of Psalms, and I just finished Psalm 140. So you can tell we started with Psalm 1. So we've been in Psalms for a while, but there's a lot of good stuff in the book of Psalms. So I've enjoyed going through it, and that's what we're doing right now on Sunday evenings. And, well, we're not named the Bible Baptist Church for no reason at all. We want to concentrate on the Word of God. And so if you want to learn the Bible, if you want to hear a message that comes out of the Bible rather than out of my head, we'd love to have you come out and visit. If you're looking for a church, or if you're in a church where they don't use the Bible, and why don't you come out and visit? We'd love to have you. And wanted to make a mention of an article, or I'm sorry, not an article, but an audio file that you can download from our. Oops, I got the wrong one here. Just a moment. That you can download online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. I've got it here somewhere, and I'm trying to find it. I've got a program. I know it's on here somewhere. I'm just not seeing it right now. On the these and the thous and the yees and the yours in the King James Bible and why they're there. And I know it's on my Facebook page, and I'll have to double check where it's at later on in regards to the website. But if you go to Facebook, you get it. And if I can't find it there, I'll repin it to the top of the page, hopefully on our other page, our web page at livewithpastoral.com. So I'm going to try and get that there. But I wanted to encourage you to take a listen to that. There's some important reasons in there, because I mentioned, you know, if you want to go to a church where you preach the Bible, teach from the Bible, study the Bible, there's a reason that we use the King James Version of the Bible. And so that'll help you understand some of the reasons there. Well, let's see. We're going to get into a couple of things here tonight, but I think first thing that we're going to do, since the phones were ringing before the program started tonight, that's always a good thing. We've got several people lined up tonight, and we're going to jump right into our telephone calls here tonight. And if you want to call, you can get on our board here at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we have Terry calling in tonight. Terry, welcome to the program.
How are you?
Hey, good evening.
I'm from London, Ontario.
Yes, calling back from London.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
I'm so excited because, you know, the Lord keeps on showing me more and more things all the time, and I get so excited because I want to share with others.
Well, you know, that's like, what was it, the prophet Jeremiah, I think, that said he couldn't stop talking about because it was like a fire burning within him?
Yeah.
And you're talking about the things the Lord had done?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, sure. Just had a little bit of feedback there for a minute.
Oh, that's okay. If you have your radio up, that might help if you have a radio that you're trying to listen to.
No, I don't.
Because there's a delay,
it's all not about me anyway. It doesn't matter about me. I was going to church the other day, and a friend of mine comes with me. You know, Jamie. I mentioned his name
before. Yes.
And I was saying to him, I said, Jamie, I hate my life. I just said it just as plain as day. I said, I hate my life.
Uh-huh.
And he's looking at me kind of weird, like, that's really encouraging. You hate your life? And I said, yes. And then I went on to explain why I hate my life. It says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it until in life and eternal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good passage. And go ahead. I was going to comment on that, but you had another point there along with that, but I was going to make a comment on that too.
Yeah, go ahead. You can make the comment.
Yeah, I was going to make the comment. When we think about, you know, loving and hating, because the Bible also talks, you know, about, you know, if we want to follow Christ, we have to hate our mother, hate our father, and things like that. And I've explained this. I think I've explained it on the air. I know I've explained it at our church. The concept of hate is like the concept of darkness. We think of hate being the opposite of love, just like we think of darkness being the opposite of light. And in reality, Hate is not the opposite of love. It's the absence of love. And darkness is not the opposite of light. It's the absence of light. And my point with that is this. When, you know, you go into a room, for instance, where I'm sitting right now, it's very bright. It's very bright in here, in this room, because of the lights. Now, there's an adjoining room that I can see into, and it's dimmer in there. So if I went in there, I would say it's dark because there's a lack of light. You see what I'm saying? And so when Jesus says that we're to hate our life, hate our mother, hate our father, we don't have the level of love for those things that we have for him. So just like that other room is dark because it's not as bright as this room, you know, you can see where that holds true. And it's not that we have this idea that, oh, I despise my parents. That's the only way I can love God. No, it's we might love our parents. We might love our life in that sense. But compared to the love that we have for God, the love that we have for our Lord and his work, it's like darkness. It's like hate. You follow how that works?
Yep, I understand that perfectly.
Yeah, and when you understand that, it makes your statement that you said that I hate my life so much more understandable.
What I'm saying by that is that I'm not concerned about myself anymore.
Right.
Like before I came to know the Lord, it was all about me.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I come to know the Lord, it's about you.
Right.
And that's help others, and you know, that's all I want to do. I just want to tell everybody about Jesus and his love.
Right. And that's the way that it should be. You know, I mean, I like to sleep, but you know, on Sunday morning, I'm not a morning person. That's why I'm glad I do late night live with Pastor Al rather than early morning with Pastor Al. I'm not a morning person. But in the morning, as much as I would love to sleep, I love getting up and doing what God wants me to do more than sleeping in on Sunday morning. And so I get up.
Can I expound on that?
What's that?
I'd like to expound on what you
Yes,
said.
Sir.
Okay. I've been going up to a lot of people as of late. And I've been saying, my kids too, like, you know, my kids, you know, that were with their parents and that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say to them, I say, have you ever went up to your mom and your dad and say to your dad and your mom, what would you like me to do for you today? And then they say, well, I'd like you to clean your room. And you happily clean your room.
Right.
Now, anybody that's listening in, you know, have you ever done that? And what I'm going to say is that's how the Lord wants us to go to him. He wants us to go to him and ask him, wake up. First thing I do when I wake up in the morning, I say, hey, Lord, what would you have me to do today?
And that's a very good way to start your day. But yeah, unfortunately, most people don't do that, Christians included. It's like you said before, it's all about us. What am I going to do? Then we think of God later.
Yeah, and when we become Christians, it's no longer about us anymore. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what he wants us to do.
Right, right.
Well, you know, and I've been doing these things, like, ever since I came to know the Lord, like, all I want to do now is what, not what I want to do, but what I want, what I could do for others and what I can do for the Lord.
Amen. And that's what every Christian should want to do, because that's what we're created. We're created in Ephesians 2 unto good works. You know, we don't get saved. I'm sorry, we're saved unto good works. We're created unto good works as well. But our purpose when we get saved is to do the work that God created us for. It's not the works that save us. We do the works because we love him and he saved us. And so we do those. I'm sorry?
Well, this stuff has just been coming to me. Like,
yeah.
Just tonight. Like, there's one thing that came to me about tonight. You know, I've read all the gospel, everything that Jesus, all the words that Jesus spoke. That are in red in the Bible.
Right.
And there isn't one time that Jesus ever spoke of himself. It was always about others.
Right.
He was always reaching out and caring for others.
Well, and he's
the world.
And he was showing how he came to serve us, basically. I think about the creator of the universe came to serve us. you know, so that he could purchase our salvation. Hey, Terry, I've got three more people lined up yet, and so I've enjoyed the conversation, but I'm going to try and get to at least a few more of them before the break comes up.
Sure, that's good.
But stay excited. I mean, that's good. I mean, stay excited, stay in the work, you know, serving God, putting Him first, and God will use you.
I've been in the Word. I've been in the Word every single day since I come to know the Lord.
Amen. That's spiritual food. So
I just want to learn more and more and more about Him. Like I'm on fire for Jesus, brother.
Amen. Well, I appreciate your calling, Terry. I appreciate your enthusiasm. So stay close to Jesus, and He'll use you. He'll use you. So thanks. I know you'll call back again. So we'll keep up and keep in touch, okay? All right. Well, God bless, and you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Daryl calling up next. Daryl, welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, Pastor Al.
Hey, Daryl from Florida. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Everything that's been going on down here. Y'all keep us in your prayers.
We do.
Everybody knows by now what's been happening. Go ahead, Pastor, what you were saying?
I just saying we're keeping in prayer, and we're still praying that one of these days God's going to get us back on the air in Tampa, just talking about that before the program tonight. So in God's time, He'll get us back down there.
Yeah, we will never forget, you know, Pastor Al. Well, let me say briefly, because I know you got other callers on the phone. The scripture where Jesus was admonishing Peter
in
the Garden of Gethsemane when Peter took out his sword and, you know.
Oh, where he said, put away the sword, I think.
Yeah, Malchus, and he got his ear, but he really was trying to get his head.
Right, and he just got the ear instead.
Put up your sword, you know, and the sheep, for those that live by the sword shall die by the sword. What did Jesus mean by that?
All right, good question, and let me see if I can find the passage here. I'm going to start with Matthew here and see if that's the, I don't remember exactly which one, because different ones of the Gospels have different portions of the story.
Right.
And right off the top of my head, I'm in the wrong chapter, Matthew here. Let me go back a little bit further. Let's see. Let's put him in the Garden of Gethsemane here. And this is where Peter's denying him. Okay, they're sleeping in the garden. And here is where they come and they take him. Yes, in Matthew chapter 26 here, verse 51, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." And let me add the next verse where he says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" And Peter here had a sword. And if you recall, they were at the Last Supper there, and Jesus said, "Listen, it's time's coming. You need to get a sword." He said, "If you have to sell a cloak, go sell your cloak, go get a sword." And they said, "Well, here's two swords." And Jesus said, "Okay, that's enough." And so there were two swords in the group. Peter, of course, had one of them. And the sword was given them because, you know, they had the right to defend themselves. But in this particular case here, this was not the time for them to fight. This was not the time for them to defend Jesus. And, you know, like you said, Peter was aiming to take off the head of this guy. He was going to fight to the death. And Jesus said, "Put up thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword," warning them that, I believe that if had Peter and whoever had the other sword, anybody had another sword, had pulled out their swords and started to fight, they would have died. They would have died there. And it wasn't the time for this to happen. They didn't need to defend Jesus with the sword, and they would be doomed in that respect. Jesus could defend himself, but he had to be betrayed, and he had to be crucified in order to purchase our salvation. Now, of course, the sword represents lethal force, and over in the book of Romans, in chapter Romans chapter 13, I believe it is, the Bible talks about the government officials bearing not the sword in vain. And of course, using lethal force there. And there are certain areas where it's used. But if somebody's going to try and settle everything by resorting to the sword, they're going to die by the sword. And certainly they would have there. I'm sorry?
Right. I hear you, Pastor.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say the reason why I was asking you that, with the fervor with, and I'm not trying to start anything, but the fervor with guns and what's going on in that nation, and my prayers are still out for those over on the east coast of Florida and for those kids.
Oh, yes.
How should Christians, with this fervor of guns and stuff, I don't own a gun. I know there's some Christians who own guns. What do you have to say about that?
Well, and again, I believe that there are certain areas where, and the gun represents lethal force. Obviously, because they didn't have guns in Paul in Jesus' day. You know, you had a sling that threw a stone. You had arrows. You had spears. A sword was like the sidearm of the day.
Yeah.
And so that would be the equivalent of a gun today for us, lethal force. And, you know, where it says in Romans 13, verse 4, he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil. So we understand there that government officials, the police would be included in this. Military and police were kind of overlapped in Paul's day. So, you know, the military and the police kind of come under this qualification here. They bear not the sword in vain. And even if you recall, John the Baptist talking with the Roman soldiers did not rebuke them for using, for bearing a sword. So there is a place for lethal force. Now, lethal force was also endorsed in terms of self-defense in Exodus, I believe it is, chapter, let me see here, chapter 20, I think, or chapter 22, where are we at here? Yes, Exodus chapter 22, this is what I'm looking for. And this is one, I think, that probably bears more directly to what we're talking about. I'm not a law enforcement official. I have been in the military, but I'm not now. But in Exodus chapter 22, in verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, "If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he should be sold for his theft." So what it's talking about here is if you're in your house in the middle of the night, a thief breaks in, you can defend your family using lethal force. Well, that would be a gun today. He was smitten, whether with a spear or with a sword or with a rock or today's parlance, a gun, a bullet, you know, and he dies, no blood to be shed for him because the man is defending his house against the thief. He's protecting his family. He's protecting his home. And that's a use of deadly force that was authorized under the law, and it's actually been authorized in other portions, the use of deadly force. No blood to be shed for him, but there's a provision there. It says if the sun be risen upon him, like, okay, you didn't get the guy, but you say, I know who he is, I know where he lives, I'll get him tomorrow. And you go after him tomorrow and you gun him down or you strike him down with a sword in this case, then you're acting as a vigilante. In that case, since you know who did it, where he lives and all that, you turn him over to the police, and then the police who are delegated to carry the sword, to use deadly force, they can go and find him. And if the guy has committed something that, let's say, would make him liable for capital punishment, execution, then the government, duly authorized, can conduct an execution and end his life. That goes back to when Noah got off the ark in Genesis chapter 9, where it talks about protecting society from predators, basically, whether human or animal. And so, yeah, deadly force is in the Bible, and it's not something we're to go out looking for excuses to hit people and kill people. But As a Christian, I believe I have a responsibility to protect my family. Not every Christian needs nor should have a gun. But if you feel led of the Lord to have a gun, Christians should be some of the best people we should trust, you know, to have the Lord with them, to guide them in the use of that. I think I'd like to see more Christians in the military, more Christians working as police officers, more Christians working as security guards in schools, in businesses and such, because I would rather have a Christian there that has the Holy Spirit to guide them in the use of deadly force rather than somebody who's unsaved. I have no problem with Christians owning guns if they feel that's what God would have them to do. But I would never say that a Christian must own a gun. It's interesting. I was reading an article tonight on the Second Amendment, and it said one thing that we fail to understand with the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment does not grant us the right to bear arms. The Second Amendment merely recognizes that we have an inherent right to bear arms and guarantees that right that we already have. Just like the First Amendment does not give us freedom of religion, it recognizes the right that we already have and guarantees it from, you know, being taken away from us by the government. And so the founding fathers recognized that we have a right to protect ourselves. To protect our home, to protect our family, to protect our communities. And that was the purpose of the Second Amendment, not just so that we can have guns to go hunting or target practice. It was to protect ourselves, protect our families, protect our communities, ultimately even against a tyrannical government itself. So there's a lot to that. But good question there, Daryl, and I'm glad you called in tonight.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We got a couple people on hold. We'll have to hold you over to the second half. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a couple moments. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral, at mapleknoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, good evening. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, here tonight until midnight, and I hope you'll stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here tonight. Just a reminder, not only are we brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and you can let them know that you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza, and that's pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. And just a reminder, you can follow us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or even on Facebook, you can go. We're on Facebook Live right now, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. We're going to get back to our callers, and we've got several callers here. We've got a couple held over from the last half hour and a new one calling in, but our telephone number is 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. And Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, thanks for holding on.
Very interesting show tonight. I just want to say I was very, very blessed by Reverend Billy Graham over the years. I would hear him on this one Christian TV station, and the older sermons were, they seemed to be totally doctrinally correct. But I'm thinking about this one Bible verse, Luke 6:26. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. And then also I'm thinking of 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them and be ye separate. And I'm sure you're aware of the 1997 dialogue that Reverend Billy Graham had with Robert Schuller, where he said, and I'm quoting this, I heard this from several sources, what God is doing today is calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or Christian world or non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called of God. They might not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light they have. And I think that they're saved, then they're going to be in heaven with us. And then also, I did find out that he, when people come forward, now this is not something he says publicly, and this even went back to the 50s. I didn't know that this went on back in the 50s. When people come forward, if they're Catholics, he will send them back to their Catholic, tell the workers to send them back to their Catholic parishes, and the Jewish people to go back to their synagogues and, you know, worship that way. So I would just like your comments on that. Thank you.
Oh, and yes, I'm aware of much of what you just said there. And I'm reminded, I think it was one of the Wesleys, you know, started the Methodist Church. It was Charles Wesley, I think it was, that mm-hmm. when he trained people and he sent them out, he said, did anybody get mad at you? He said, if nobody got mad at you, you must not have been doing your job. You know, and I know there are some people who are not happy with some of the things that Dr. Graham did and said. But it is interesting, and I'm trying to look up some history here. There was a guy by the name of Monroe Parker, and Dr. Monroe Parker went to be with the Lord a long time ago. He was some tapes that I had given to me to copy when I was actually still stationed in England in the Air Force. A missionary that I knew that was working over there had given me some tapes. Dr. Parker was speaking at a missions school in Mississippi, and he was up there in years. I believe he was in his 80s in the tapes, and he is somebody who knew Billy Graham when Billy Graham was a young man, and he was given a history of Christianity in America and fundamentalism and the new evangelical movement as he personally saw it. You know, so this was recorded in the probably the late 70s, early 80s. This is going to take, you know, his personal awareness of history for pretty much most of the 20th century. And at our church, we were talking about this at length on our Friday night Bible study. And one of the things that happened, of course, Billy Graham had become a Southern Baptist, and he was preaching. He had a very strong gospel message, and I know, like you do, I'm sure, and many of our listeners do, probably know people, or maybe even they themselves came to Christ listening to Billy Graham preaching. And I remember going there, our church, the church I grew up in, Hinckley Ridge Baptist Church, when I was growing up, 1972. I was, let's see, I was 11 going on 12, I guess, at that time, because I think it was in the early summer. We went up to old Cleveland Municipal Stadium. We had an old bus that the Highland School District got rid of it because they couldn't keep it running anymore. And we loaded that up, and I remember went up there to those, I think, several nights. But be that as it may, I mean, there's a lot of good that he's accomplished. But here's what Dr. Parker said, Dr. Monroe Parker. He said that knowing Billy Graham personally, he gave some background information. He said that I think this is back in the 40s when this took place. He said that he was up, Dr. Parker was up in Boston, Massachusetts area when there was a group of people that met. And at that time, a lot of the people had come through the battles between fundamentalism and modernism. And I want to try and shorten down something that I spent 2 hours talking about Friday night, or at least an hour and a half, into a couple of minutes. But there was the battle between the modernists that denied the Word of God, that denied the virgin birth, that denied the deity of Christ, that denied the blood atonement, that denied the resurrection, that denied the second coming. All these cardinal truths, fundamental truths of the Bible and of Christianity. And the reaction against that was the fundamentalists that said, no, these are fundamental truths. We need to hold to them. And they became known as fundamentalists. They were also called evangelicals because the others were modernists. They questioned and doubted and disbelieved the fundamental truths. And the fundamentalists, it was a battle. There were pitched battles. But I mean, sometimes the battles broke out into physical altercations. And right here in northern Ohio, northeast Ohio, in northern part of Ohio, Ohio being part of the Northern Baptist Convention, where a lot of Baptist churches in Ohio were affiliated with that, there was a battle. Dr. Robert Ketchum, who pastored, I believe, in Elyria in the early 1900s, he was one of the leaders fighting against modernism in the Northern Baptist Convention that later became the American Baptist. And they reached a point where they realized they were never going to change these other churches' opinions, and they had to separate from them. And in those battles, that led to the formation of the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, which over their time compromised many times themselves. But but what I'm getting at is in the fighting, some people got tired of the fighting. And they said, can't we hold to these fundamental beliefs without fighting? And do we have to leave these modernist churches? Can't we win them over from the inside? And so this group in Boston in the 40s, I believe it was, a guy by the name of Harold Okenga, I believe was his name, said, and this is Dr. Parker, I guess, personally had experience with this, heard it or whatever, and he said that Okenga said, what we need is a new evangelicalism. That's where that term came from.
Hmm.
You've heard that term, new evangelical. What they wanted was somebody who would hold to fundamental truths that the fundamentalists, the evangelicals, would like. And also, they wouldn't fight with the modernists, and instead they would be loving to them. And they thought they could appeal to both sides, you know. And they said,
isn't that fence-sitting?
Well, kind of, you know. And some of them, probably their heart was in the right place. And you know, they had a lot of battles going on. And so they said, we need a young, dynamic evangelist that we can sway to our opinion and that we can use and promote to promote this new evangelicalism. And according to Dr. Parker, Billy Graham was the man that they selected. And he had conversations, personal conversations with Billy Graham over this. William Randolph Hearst, who head of the Hearst newspapers, kind of, I said to somebody, this is the internet of their day because newspapers are very important. He's very influential. He was not a fan or a friend of the evangelists that toured the country at that time, and they had him come on board, and they gave the order, puff Graham, in other words, puff him up in your papers, and that's what he did, and that's how he got his start. And of course, he saw the big meetings and getting access to places. And as a young evangelist, making his mark in the world, he followed along with that. And you know, I praise God for every person that got saved. But at the same time, you know, I mean, I don't want to be a Pollyanna in regards to this. I recognize that there are times, for instance, the unregistered church in Russia was very upset when he came there, and they unfurled a banner and tried to get him to call attention to the persecuted church, the unregistered church in Russia, and he did not acknowledge that. That was partly because his KGB handlers basically told him he could not do that, or he would not be allowed in or allowed back. And so, to my knowledge, he didn't say much about it when he came out of Russia either. And so that was a problem. And then, of course, there are other things like the Catholics being embraced in and allowing, you know, people to be directed to Catholic churches. But all of that aside from things, you know, God is a forgiving God. And I have no doubt that when Dr. Graham closed his eyes in this world, he opened them in heaven. And, you know, so whatever compromises he may have made, whatever mistakes he may have made, and we all make mistakes. We all compromise in some way or another from time to time. I think on the balance, he did quite a bit of good. And so I praise the Lord for everybody got saved through his ministry. And that's why I'm kind of reluctant to spend a lot of time, you know, going after all the negative aspects. And there's other places that you can go to for that. Wayoflife.org online has some information
very
there.
Very familiar with that. Yes,
yeah. And, you know, I've the only Billy Graham crusade I ever went to was the 1972 one in Cleveland. I've read some of his books. I've watched some things on TV where he's been on and everything. And so, you know, I know there was nothing I was going to do or say that was going to affect his ministry. His ministry was between him and God, really, ultimately. And so, you know, from all I can tell, he was a sincere man. And and he did reach a lot of people with the gospel.
I agree with
you.
Yeah,
but any compromises that he made along the way, that's going to be between him and God. And I'm sure.
I was just mainly concerned because everybody speaks highly of him.
Oh yeah,
and you know, God did say to come out from among you and be separate. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said he came to divide, not to unite.
Yeah, and divide between, yeah, the spiritual darkness and spiritual light, because you look at that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 where he, in other parts of that, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, what communion hath light with darkness, and that's making a very clear divide. You know, I cannot endorse Catholicism, for instance. I cannot endorse Islam. and say that they have some light of the gospel. And unfortunately, even good Christians, and I've known people who have been in the ministry as independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists that have struggled with, well, what about people who are committed to a religion that just haven't heard of Christ? And so there's some things in the Bible that are hard to be understood. Even Peter wrote about that when he was talking about Paul's writings. He said that there are some things that people have difficulty understanding, and they, I can't remember the exact wording right now, they rest, I think is the word that he uses. And I'm going to, looking at the clock here, I got a couple more callers coming in waiting, but let me see if I can see this real quick here. There was a passage that Peter referred to when he was referring to Paul's writings, and unfortunately, I'm just not seeing it right away. It's a problem when you're in a hurry, you know, and you're on the air and you're in a hurry. Let me see here. I believe it's 2 Peter, and of course, I just can't see what I'm looking for here. I've got my eyes crossed, I guess, in some fashion. And I know after the program, I'll see it and think, well, why didn't I think of it? But I don't want to waste time on there. I guess God doesn't want me to look at it right now, I guess, because at any rate. But the point is, people have misunderstandings over the scripture all the time. And God knows the heart, and God knows his heart. You know, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and think that he thought that he was doing the right thing. And I think that, you know, like some people, I had somebody tell me one time, a pastor said, well, sometimes you got to break some omelet or eggs to make an omelet. And so, you know, he may have thought he was doing the right thing, that that's what it took to reach some people. That's what it took to get into the Soviet Union. That's what it took to have these big campaigns. That's between him and God, not me. But it's also the same thing. I didn't really get involved in a lot of his programs, you know, because of those things. But I appreciate the call there tonight, Nancy, bringing this up. And you know, I got a couple more callers. I'm gonna have to let you go here so I can get moving on and get some people in here. But appreciate that call tonight. Hope you'll call back. And we have, I believe, David, who is calling in next. David, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you. I'm a first-time caller, Pastor Al.
I appreciate you calling tonight. God bless. Welcome to the program.
God bless you as well. Thank you.
I
just want to let you, my wife as well, she echoes that we really like your program.
Well, thank you.
And I'm really excited about that new believer from Canada who calls you of late.
Oh, yeah, Terry. He's been calling lately, and he's got a friend up there, Jamie, who's called before, too.
Oh, praise the Lord. It's good to hear from the Canadians, and it so much reminds me of myself. I converted as a young adult myself, and just to relate to some of the things that and the way I felt at that time, I was hanging with a group of friends who were, they were into partying and drugs and everything. Mm-hmm. So I bought them all Bibles, I recall, and gave them each a Bible. And some, who knows, some of them may have read, some may have not. But for sure, I got to speak the gospel to a lot of them.
Right.
And I've still maintained relationships with a number of them today, maybe not close relationships, but still open relationships. So I praise the good Lord, and I hope that the gospel seeds will continue to be watered and perhaps come to harvest at some point in time.
Right. Well, Solomon said you cast your bread upon the water and it may return back to you. So, that's what you have to do. And sometimes people don't seem to react favorably to it right now, but God starts using that to work in their heart, you know, a little bit over time. And maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road or longer, that little gospel seed starts to germinate. And God's able to reach them. So that
when you're a new believer, you do see things from a uniquely Christian perspective.
Oh, yeah.
It's like so crystal clear at that time. He made, the brother made mention of the fact that my prior life was all about I, and now it's about you. I can recall my first Christian mentor who shared the gospel with me before I was a believer. He called it the Miss Piggy syndrome.
That's a good way. I haven't heard it that way, but that, I can see the point.
Right. She was always about herself, you know. And
about moi.
Moi, yeah. And so I'm just excited to hear about the young brother. I can't wait to hear more of his adventures in the faith. And, of course, we've got the Holy Spirit working in us to take us on to completion and sanctify our lives.
Yeah, and that excitement of a new Christian should be something that excites people who have been saved for a longer period of time.
Yes.
Because it's easy to get complacent. It's easy to kind of let the fire die down a little bit. But you get around a new Christian that's on fire for the Lord, and it excites you. It should excite you. And it's good for all of us. That's one of the reasons we should be trying to reach people with the gospel, because those new Christians really can stir our hearts and excite us. God can use them. At the same time, he's using us to help teach them and help them understand things. There, he can use them to excite us and give us help us return back to that first love, as he puts it.
Yeah, so, we should. Well, yeah. I'll make room for your final caller, Pastor.
Okay, well, thank you, David. I appreciate you and your wife listening. Thank you for calling. Hope you'll call again.
Okay,
so,
thank
God
you.
Bless. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And we've got time. We can get our next caller in here. We've got Billy calling in tonight, and welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing well. How are you tonight?
My name is Billy, and I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes, sir.
And I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome. And I should have a bell or something tonight, I think. But,
yeah.
But
thank
glad
you.
To have you.
Pastor Al, I got a problem. My daughter just passed away about a month ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
She died at 33 and left behind three beautiful grandkids. But she died of a heroin overdose. And I was just wondering if she made it to heaven or not. What would you think, Pastor Al?
Well, I don't know her. I could not answer that question effectively. However, she had trusted Christ as her Savior, yes, she would be in heaven, because all sins are forgiven, and Christians can get caught up in some sinful behaviors and even addictive behaviors. So if she had put her faith in Christ prior or sometime even in the midst of that, there are Christians who get saved in the midst of an addiction, and it takes time to overcome that addiction, and they struggle. And of course, now the devil wants to get rid of them, because the last thing he wants is for somebody to get saved. And so if she put her faith in Christ, then according to the Word of God, her sins are forgiven, and she is in heaven at this moment.
Well, that's what I want to believe. I used to always talk to her. I said, "Dolly, pray. You got to pray to Jesus every morning, noon, and night." And what happened was, she said, "Dad, it's just a made up story like Santa Claus." And I was like, "No, Dolly, you don't understand. If you were to die today, you want to know you're going to heaven."
Right.
And I don't know what to think, because she was too good of a person to go to hell.
Well, and unfortunately, you know, good or bad, it doesn't come into play. It's what we've done with Christ. John 3:18, and I apologize, we're running out of time rapidly here. John 3:18 says the thing that keeps us from heaven is unbelief. We're condemned already because we've not believed. Now, you've shared the gospel with her, and don't know what happened in her heart of hearts. Perhaps some night when she was at the end of a rope and just never shared it with her. I've shared the gospel with people on their deathbed that I believe have gotten saved. And so
you
never can tell. As long as you shared the gospel, you've done what you could do. And
I pray every morning. The first thing I do is I get on my knees and I pray to Jesus, and I ask him to forgive me my sins.
Yeah.
And to give me courage to make it through the day. And I ask him to forgive me of my sins and accept me in the heavens when I die.
Right, and that's what we need to do. We need to put our faith in Christ. Billy, I want to thank you for calling. I'm up against the end of the program, and I hope you'll call back, and maybe we can explore this topic in depth at a later time. But my sympathy for you and your family, and I want to thank all of our listeners tonight for being with us. We're out of time, and join us next time. I want to thank you for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.